Thank you, Scott. It's a privilege to be up here today talking about the work that we've been doing for the past 5 years with our collaborator in India. The focus of my talk is going to be a bit of a different flavor. I'm not focusing on the research activities that we're doing, but rather how we went about it and what the scope of the program of research is. I should acknowledge that along with myself, there is Nisha Fahey, who is a third-year medical student at Des Moines University in Iowa. And Nisha and I, when we were undergrads in Boston University, is originally when we started working with our collaborator in India. Research and advocacy for health in India spells out to Rahi. Rahi in Hindi means a pathfinder, and we think it embodies the spirit of our collaboration with the tertiary care center in India. So that was just a play on words, which we thought was kind of cute. I have no relationships to disclose. And as I mentioned, the focus of the talk today is just to describe the evolution of how we went from having an interest in being involved in international health to then having buy-in from institution as well as faculty support and going to more of a systematic program of research. And through the through the duration of the talk, I hope to be able to share some of my students, some of my and Nisha's learning experiences, what we did good, and where we got lucky, and things that we hope to get better in and are hoping to improve. So I think everyone who works in international health goes through a familiar paradigm at one point or another. They go through a life-changing experience. For me, it came in 2009. When it was the first time that I traveled back to India. I was born and raised in until I was 14 in Gujarat, which is the same area that Pooja described in her slides. And as a sophomore in high school, to come into a new culture and assimilate myself, it was a challenge. But by 2009, when I was at Boston University, I had fully acculturated to the point where I became a diehard Red Sox fan and enjoyed in the crowd surfing at the Kenmore Square, for those who are familiar with Boston's geography. So in 2009, after my sophomore year in undergrad, when I first went back to India, I was struck by the disparities that was pervasive and omnipresent throughout the country. What really struck me was how unaware and perhaps immune I was to it growing up there. What was really fascinating was, at the same time, Nisha Fahey, the student that I described working with me, she also went there for the first time. But unlike me, she was born and raised in Connecticut. And this was her first experience there. So she often asked questions that I hadn't even thought about. Questions about gender inequalities, about caste discrimination, and things that oftentimes I was just not aware of. So that was a very eye-opening experience for both of us, and we walked away from that experience with two questions. Why are there inequities, and how do they continue to be pervasive? In 2010, we realized that we were both aspiring to be medical students, and we knew that we would be taking a year off between our undergrad and graduate school. And we reached out to Dr. Somshekhar Nimbalkar, who is at Charudar Arogya Mandal in Gujarat. So again, to reorient everyone, this is a map of India. Gujarat is located in the western part of India. And the district that we are doing most of our work in is in a rural setting. For context, Ahmedabad is here. And Anand district is fairly close to Ahmedabad. Charudar Arogya Mandal is a tertiary care hospital, a medical school, and has a community extension program. When we spoke with Dr. Somshekhar about our reflections of India and coming back to India, and asked about his reflection on being a physician, I should mention that Dr. Somshekhar is a neonatologist as well as the head of Central Research Service Department, so he has the clinical research background. One of the things that he shared with us that really struck was that barriers persist outside of the doctor-patient interaction. And through that knowledge, we decided to understand the community that is being served by CAM a bit better. So in 2011, we did a social determinants of health study. We sampled 700 women of reproductive age from the clinics of the hospital as well as the nearby community. So we did 350 women were recruited from the clinics as well as and 350 from the community. We had some very interesting findings from it. One of the things that stood out a lot was 85% of the respondents that were described or that identified themselves as ultra poor, which we defined as less than 25 cents per person per day, did not know about the government health programs that offered subsidized healthcare. So to follow up from that study, in 2012, months before starting medical school, Nisha and I decided to just immerse ourselves into the community by spending 2.5 months there. During our time there, we conducted semi-structured community health needs assessment, where we met with healthcare providers that were outside of the CAM system. We spoke with the government officers, we spoke with the stakeholders as well as NGOs to understand from their perspective what the priorities are for themselves as well as what they perceive the priorities for the community and what are the barriers that they face in addressing that. The thing and the common theme that stood out from both the 2011 and the 2012 efforts is that problems lie within the community, but also solutions lie within the community as well. And one of the best way of getting to those solutions is by engaging community in the early stages. And that is the core of community-based participatory research, and that's why we're very much interested in that. So the priority areas that were defined through the efforts of 2011 and 2012 study and assessment were maternal and child health. India has the largest burden of stunted growth. Half of its child population is stunted, and it has the highest rates of infant and maternal mortality. The second topic was trauma care and outcomes, and this is again, earlier there was a discussion about double burden, and paradoxically, India, which is low and middle income country, has a maternal and child health problem, which typically is also prevalent in other low and middle income countries, but also because of the recent development in the past 2 decades, has better roads and allows for cars and other transportation to be faster. But the safety and emergency response system is not proportionally improved, and that's why there is 1 in 4 1 in 4 road traffic accidents ends in fatality, especially in the rural regions. The third topic was type 2 diabetes, and especially the epidemic of it. There is about 50 million diabetics in India, which is more than any other country throughout the world. One of the fascinating findings about the diabetic population in India and other parts of South Asia is that they don't appear to be as obese as that is in non-Hispanic white population, and there is prevalence of diabetes in people with BMI as low as 18 kilograms per meter square, which we consider to be very underrated. And then chewable tobacco addiction in adolescents and young adults. Oral cancer is among the leading cause of mortality in India among young population. And a common thread across these priority areas for us was to understand why the health disparities are present and emphasize on the psychosocial health. An element that came through in our early experiences was that there isn't a lack of resources. It's just that the resources are not being utilized and the community is not engaged. There is no community buy-in in using the resources. There are large-scale government programs that are well-funded. There is a robust public health infrastructure, including 44 primary health centers in our district alone. There is 1,400 ASHA workers, which is government-trained social health activist, and there is public daycare system. So rather than, for our purposes, rather than creating a parallel new system, we wanted to be able to gather evidence to increase the engagement of the community and connect the dots through horizontal lines. So So that brings me to Rahi and our philosophy. Again, it's to be a pathfinder and work within the existing infrastructure to understand what are the reasons and underlying causes of persistent health inequality. To play out the analogy of Rahi a bit more, we want our vehicle or the approach to be community-based participatory research, including to engage community as the equal partner in doing research, having the research questions come from the community and have them involved in the analysis and the design part of it. Our path is to work within the existing public and private infrastructure, and the fuel for our journey is really having the institutional partnership between UMass Medical School and our collaborating partner, and to have junior faculty as well as students and trainees be able to support the ongoing efforts. So to quickly provide an overview of what we are currently doing, in June of 2013, we received a pilot project funding from Office of Global Health at University of Massachusetts Medical School. And one of the things that many people working in international health can attest to is funding can go a long way in international settings. So just to give you an example, with a modest funding of $50,000, we were able to recruit 200 pregnant women in their first trimester, observe them over 8 clinical visits up to their up to 6 months postpartum, and collect information on nutritional, clinical, including ultrasound imaging, psychosocial, and cultural factors. We were also very interested in learning about their beliefs about the public programs that exist and what are the barriers as well as facilitators for it. And I would just want to make 2 points in terms of our learning experience in designing this study. We were successful in matching each faculty expert from University of Massachusetts with a faculty expert from Charitar Arogya Mandal. And what that allowed us to do was have the research question come from the local investigators, but then have UMass and US investigators be able to provide the tacit knowledge of how to ask the research questions appropriately. And we employed a very robust cognitive response testing to make sure we knew after identifying what the right questions to ask were, we also verified whether or not we were asking the questions in a way that we understood them and in a way that the participants understood them. And then just a few months ago, we have a surgical resident from University of Massachusetts spending better part of his 2 years as part of a surgical research scholars program in India, working with our multidisciplinary team to improve trauma from road traffic accidents. And he's again paired up with junior faculty from surgery department in a camp. We are doing community-based survey to assess the burden of road traffic accidents and what are the barriers at the community level to access care, emergency care, and then doing hospital-based registry and surveillance to identify risk factors that exist prior to care, during care, and after care. To touch upon the sustainability part, University of Massachusetts has been very generous in providing support for this, and what we have been successful in doing is to work within the existing programs at both institutions and leverage that to include students. So for example, we have a 4-year longitudinal capstone program that every medical student is required to do. And so now we're in our third generation of medical students that are doing their capstone program as a sub project within the larger ongoing research study. And these are just some pictures of the bilateral exchange where we are able to get students from India also come to UMass. And then next year, we're looking at the epidemiology of type 2 diabetes mellitus, but also looking at physiology of it. And one of the things that we're particularly excited about is that we have a new way of looking at the thin fat phenotype that exists among South Asians, and why is it that population at low BMI levels have a higher risk of insulin resistance and diabetes. One of the hypotheses that we would be exploring is that among South Asians, there is a low fat cell expandability. And what I mean by that is in non-Hispanic whites, when you have increased energy intake, adipose tissue gets deposited in the superficial compartment. our hypothesis is that that ability is limited in South Asians, and we have some genotypic evidence to support it. There are different alleles and polymorphisms that are different, and because of that limited ability for fat cells to expand, the fat cells get inappropriately deposited around the waist and around the visceral organs, which increases inflammation and increases the risk for insulin resistance. So we're hoping to start that study in 2015. And we're also formalizing the bilateral exchange between the two institutions by having another program that stands for something else in Hindi, Support and Action Towards Health Equity in India, which is SATHI, and it stands for partner in Hindi. And through that, we're hoping to create a platform for bilateral exchange for capacity building, especially in community medical research and junior faculty development with a focus on female junior faculty. So to summarize, RAHI is a multidisciplinary effort which is led by students, and its purpose is to address health issues in rural India. And one of the things that I hope I've been able to highlight through the talk is that students can play an important role in leading international collaborative, and specifically by serving as a bridge between the academics and the faculty and the community, the indigenous community of the participating country. And that early engagement of community and government is very critical in the success for a large international collaborative. And I just want to thank all of the leadership and co-founders of the RAHI initiative. And if you have any questions, we'll take it at the end of the session. Thank you.